Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of I Don't Know with Samantha George. This is the weekly podcast, not really, where we talk about life, conspiracy theories, the paranormal, talk to guests, and occasionally have some deep conversations. Before I start this episode, I want to say Happy New Year to every podcast listener. Let me address the elephant in the room before that as well. It's been a month since I dropped an episode, and I apologize for that. Life happened and I had to take a break. But yeah, I made a decision and a commitment this year to stay true to my weekly episodes, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to aim at least at doing that. With that being said, I'm going to start 2022 with a bang. And I'm going to start it with a guest who is honestly inspired me as a person. I'm honestly ecstatic to have him on my podcast. He's someone who is inspiring. He's done tremendous, tremendous things. And among his list of vast achievements includes the youngest person to walk across India. He covered 4,000 kilometers from Kanyakumari to Leh through a solo walking expedition. He's been working on campaigns to make mental health a curriculum in Indian schools from standard 9 to 12th. He's an ex-Indian Army cadet, a life coach, corporate wellness specialist, speaker, author, and fitness expert. I'm here with Ronit Ranjan. Hi, Ronit. How is it going?
Hi, Samantha. That was a long, very beautiful introduction. Thank you so much. It's really humbling. Just a little connection. It was Kanyakumari to Kashmir. It was not Leh. I changed my route.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I apologize for that, but it's still very, very inspiring. And you're being humble at this point, because those are accomplishments that I think would take people lifetime to achieve. You know, firstly, it's honestly a pleasure to have you here on my podcast. And your story and your whole journey is honestly inspiring. I'm really, really, really pumped to be able to talk to you today. And for some reason, for those who don't know who you are already, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hello, everyone. First of all, thank you, Samantha, for having me here. She and I have been planning doing this for a while now, but then something or the other has been coming up either on her side or my side. We finally were like, no, we need to get this done today. And we're having a lovely conversation before the podcast itself, but we realize we need to stick to the podcast. I'm sure we're going to continue this conversation after the podcast. I am Ronit. I am presently based in Bangalore. I am from Ranchi, Dhoni's place. I was not the brightest kid growing up. I was bullied a lot in school and all that. Everything shifted when I decided to join the army. In 2015, I joined the National Defense Academy. It was my dream. That dream changed me as an individual, because, you know, I became the kind of person that was required to be there in that elite, set of people. And everything was going well. But then, unfortunately, in 2017, a back injury ended my career. And then I had my mental health journey when I came to Christ for my graduation all over again. And this is where I realized how I needed help and so many other people needed help. And then, you know, I dove deeply into different kinds of social work. It could be menstruation, child sexual abuse, mental health, and all of that other things. You know, Christ does give you all of that. So I did that, eventually, you know, stuck to mental health, because, you know, being a man talking about his emotions was something that people found surprising. Some of them were shocked, and third of them were unhappy about it. And all three I like doing. So, and I stuck to that. And it's been a long journey. And after that, I've been doing a couple of things to kind of like figure out, who am I? What do I stand for? What's my value? What's my purpose? Because my purpose in life was to stand at the border and protect lives. And, for a brief moment, for 2-3 years in the middle, I thought that, you know, my purpose cannot be fulfilled. But then these different campaigns and working with people kind of gave me an impression that you can still stand within the border, inside the border, and protect lives. That's what I tried doing. I'm a very protective person in general. All the, you know, professional accolades and all of that, you know, that put aside, I'm an Enthu cutlet. I range between, you know, this very over-enthusiastic teenager to a old grumpy uncle. You know, it depends on what's my mood and how much of alcohol I have in my body. Totally depends on that. Other than that, I love chole bature. I love meeting new people. I love talking. And I just like making an impact wherever I am. So.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. That sounds super interesting. I mean, if you already are not intrigued enough to go check him out, you need to go check out Ronit. I would 10 on 10 recommend you go checking out his TED Talks and his Instagram page. I'm pretty sure you'll be as in awe as I am right now. So,
yeah. And I did not pay her to say that, by the way.
I mean, we can talk about the payment after this episode, Ronit. Chill. So, Ronit, you're a big advocate when it comes to mental health, right? So, I want to know, was there like a certain instance that sparked this interest in mental health? Like a particular moment that you knew you had to go and do this?
Yeah, it was. So, just like every other ignorant person in this country, I was also ignorant to mental health. And I had read no literature about it, nor did I, you know, take any effort to do so. Mm-hmm. But when my career, when my dream ended in 2017, and then things just didn't feel right. You know, I stopped doing the things that I wanted to do. I stopped smiling. I stopped eating. I stopped laughing. I stopped just doing anything and everything. And then the days would be just me getting up, having breakfast, sleeping off the entire day, getting up, having dinner and all. And I realized this is not me, and something is wrong, which is beyond my control. You know, that was something beyond this. That's when I was recommended that you should go see a therapist, and that's when I got to know that, oh, I have depression, I have PTSD from the accident and all that. That's when I got to know what mental health is, and I started reading more literature. This is where my course also helped. So I did a triple majors in eco, pol science, and sociology. Mm-hmm. Sociology really helped me understand human beings and behavior and all. I keep saying that sociology actually made me more of a human, which I was not till the time I was in the army. So that was the phase wherein I got introduced to mental health, learned it the hard way, but then, you know, it is what it is for most people is what I have observed. And so that really triggered me. So initially it was a trigger, but I think after one point it kind of became an incentive for me, more of a, how do I put it? It's more of a helping hand, more like a partnership kind of a thing wherein it's like, you know, like let's say if I'm suffering from something, you know, there's some kind of unity in suffering as well. And I would meet similar people who are going through their stuff in life. And then what I shared, you know, they would open up as well. And then we would mutually help each other to kind of figure that out. And I fell in love with that process, and I decided to take that forward. So after that, I've been, you know, doing my all to do whatever I can in terms of mental health in my capacity.
Definitely. I agree. When you're struggling mentally, you need to have like a circle around you who's probably going to empower you at least, or just let you know that you're not alone. So yeah, I'm glad that you were able to get your circle and, you know, come up with this journey and help so many more people after that. And you know, when you're faced with instances like this, you feel like the whole world is against you. Like you've had your dream, literally you've had it in your hand and now it's taken away from you. So how do you move on and deal with that as a person?
So there are two things, you know. So while you and I are sitting here and discussing about it, you know, it's a process. So there's no answer to it. There's no formula to what it is. Had you asked me this question 3 years ago, I had no answer. This answer that I'm going to give you right now might change a year later when I have, let's say, a new perspective and all. So the present synthesis of this entire incident and the way things have panned out is that sometimes things happen in your life and it happens. Don't fight it. I fought this feeling for the longest of time because I'm like, oh, this shouldn't have happened. How can this happen to me? I'm a nice person. I've never harmed anyone and all of that. The moment we start fighting something, and I've realized that, let's say if I have to fight you, I have to fight Samantha, I have to hold your collar. I have to hold you to fight. Mm-hmm. The more I hold, the more I'm not letting you go. So sometimes you have to just like let things come, mess you up for a few days and let it go. And it keeps happening again and again. You become immune to it, or you're ready for it to come so that you have more tools in or more resources that you can have then, and then you can deploy those strategies if you can. And it takes a lot of hit and trial, definitely. But my only lesson from it is something happens to you. I'm not saying that just surrender and let it happen to you. All I'm saying is do not fight it. Do not try to make sense out of things, because sometimes things don't make sense. And that is the way that the world works. Just acknowledge that the fact that this has happened, which means that this is going to take you somewhere, up or down, you're going to decide. So okay. I've always told myself that, okay, whatever happens, I'm going to make sure that this will have an output. Doesn't matter if it has good output or a bad output, it will have an output, because if it has no output, it becomes this toxic negative emotion inside my heart, which I do not need at all. Mm-hmm. And second is this entire term. I was like, I want to move on. I want to move on from my NDA episode. I want to move on from my ex-girlfriend. I want to move on from this and that and all that. But I am someone who do not believe in the term move on anymore. Mm-hmm. I believe that you live with certain things. And I've actually, this is a theory that I have formulated, I don't know from where it's derived, just like life experience. I call it the pearl theory.
Okay.
And I think that in our life, we have a lot of these beautiful pearls in our heart, right? It could be career, loss of a best friend, death of a family member, your relationship not working out, your career and all of that. You have these pearls, right? Now, the problem is these incidents are in the past, which means they're not there anymore. And all the feelings are there. And while there are good stuff in that, there's negative stuff in that as well. And if you keep those negative things here, it starts like polluting all the other ones as well. So it's important for you to kind of detoxify the entire thing. So you take these pearls out and then you polish them, remove the toxicity out of it, and then you place them back in. Not saying that you have to look back at it all the time because there's no point, but it's more of a reminder of what you have been through, what you're capable of doing. How much are you capable of loving? How much are you capable of being determined to get your goal, right? It's more of a reminder to that. And once you've removed that toxicity, it doesn't bother you anymore. So I like to believe that polish your pearls and still keep it there because there was a part of you that was involved in that. It could be anything. Do not discard, because move on literally means you let it there and like let it stay there and go. I do not want to leave something that had my part in this. But yes, I will take the responsibility of cleaning that shit and then, making sure that it does not affect me. So yeah, I don't know about moving on, but I do live with certain things and I have a lot of past experiences, no regrets, no negative emotions. It's just there.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. There are many things, instances in life where you cannot explain, even if you would like to, and it doesn't make sense, but you need to let go, move on, and probably follow the pearl theory as well.
And there's this quote. There's this quote that I was told a lot when I was in this, when I just came out of the army, that, oh, Ronit, everything happens for the good, everything happens for the good. And I hate that statement. Yeah, right. And I'm like, that's the shittiest statement ever. I do not believe everything happens for the good, but I do believe that everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason could be good or bad. Some things have to happen for the good and some things have to happen for the bad. That's where the growth is available. So, we kind of like try to like shrug things off by saying that, oh, everything happens for the good. No, some things have to happen for the bad. You need to acknowledge at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, bad things that happen to you make you grow as an individual, and growth at the end of the day is important for everyone. So very well put. Thank you so much for that answer. And coming to a point, it's really nice to see a man talking about mental health so much and advocating for it. It's not something that anyone talks about, and people generally shy away from it, whether it's a woman or a man talking about mental health, they generally shy away from it. So why do you think it's so important for a man to be vulnerable, to be okay with his emotions and expressing his emotions? Why do you think it's so important?
So first, it has definitely got to do with the entire concept of toxic masculinity and gender roles. Mm-hmm. We've been assigned different roles and we're trying to live up to certain stories. Because I think all of us in our life are just trying to live up certain stories instead of creating our own, because it's a safer option. It's what everybody follows and that's a trend. As a man, you are applauding me for expressing it, but the term like, are you gay? Are you bi? Are you this and all that? I get on my Instagram, it's crazy because, they say like, oh, this guy's talking about emotion. Why is this guy crying in front of the camera, right? And it was an emotion that I used to resist as well, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in a small town. Even I did not have any knowledge about what feminism is, what gender is, what toxic masculinity is, right? I was one of those alpha male types, not going to sit behind a lady. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to protect her and all that. And then I went to the army. And army is a beautiful institution, very efficient institution, but also it's a very patriarchal institution, right? Mm-hmm. That fueled it more. And then I had this sense of pride when I did that. And then I came to Christ, and because of that, because in the army in India, there are no women. So I had no female interactions, right?
Yeah.
And I came to Christ. And then one thing that I'm really grateful for are the women in Christ, because A, they're very pretty. Oh my God. And second is that, people from different background, different walks of life. And I made a lot of female friends. And then I realized that, oh my God, I have so much work to do. Like, so there's this term that I use for myself, like my past self. I call it the MCP. It's called the male chauvinist pig. And then the other term is PPS. It's called the patriarchy piece of shit.
Wow. So, I was very that. Nice ways to describe yourself.
Yeah. So I was that, right? And then I had to unlearn everything that I had learned, right? And then it took a lot of vulnerability, and I was not proud of myself, and it was a very vulnerable phase of that. But then when I took action to learn about it, and then I realized that when we talk about vulnerability, the first thing that comes in our mind is like, oh my God, it is so scary. It's weakness and all. I realized because when I was getting vulnerable, it took so much strength to be vulnerable.
Definitely.
And that just changed everything in me. A couple of the language that we use, I had to change a lot of language that I did. And definitely I had resistance as well. My course mates or my seniors back in the army did not like when I used to have a conversation with them. According to them, I was not, according to some of them, I was not adequate enough. Because I'm like, bhai, ye sab kya kar raha hai? You know, like, tu to fauji hai, tu aise hi kya ye sab baatein kar raha hai, and all of that. And I'm like, it's important. So that was one. And then second is that working on mental health, working on myself, expressing my emotions, and then expecting people to express their emotions really changed my relationship with myself, my friends, my sister, my parents, and everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, maybe this is what I was missing. So after that, you know, this is something that I like doing. And then to everybody who resists me, I'm like, you know what? You'll get there as well. It is a journey. I see where you are right now. I just hope that you read a little more, because if you don't do it by yourself, life will push you to do that. Same, when I learned the hard way, you will learn the hard way. It's just that if you become a little proactive, it's going to be a little more easier for you. Yeah.
Interesting. Very well said. And you know, you walked from Kanyakumari to Kashmir, and during the start of the pandemic. So congratulations on that, firstly, for competing. I mean, completing it takes a lot of willpower mainly to do that walk. And was there any time
Thank
over
you.
There? You're welcome. Was there any time during the walk you felt alone and, you know, had this feeling of loneliness? Because I believe right now as Gen Z with social media and everything going on, you always have this feeling of FOMO or being lonely. So in that 4,000 kilometer walk, did you feel a time where you were alone, didn't know what to do with yourself?
So I'll tell you honestly, I walked for 156 days and I felt lonely in all those 156 days. Mm-hmm. I was not FOMO. So this is something that I worked on. Like, FOMO really doesn't work on me. But then this feeling of loneliness happened for a couple of reasons. A, because I was walking alone. And I was like literally on the road the entire day. I couldn't talk to anyone because I had to pay attention at the road because it was a national highway. Second was that, so there were two kinds of people. A, either they called me crazy and canceled me. I'm like, oh my God, you know, you're just crazy. You know, that's not how it works and all that. So either they canceled me, or the other set of people who were just busy being proud of me. So they put me in a certain pedestal and I'm like, oh my God, Rodney, you're amazing, you're doing something. But they just put me in a pedestal and just left me there, you know? Like nobody was there for me. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just busy being proud of me and clapping for me. Mm-hmm. And I still felt very lonely because I'm like, I don't need that. I just want someone to ask me, how am I doing? Right. Mm-hmm. The only few people in those 156 days who asked me, Ronit, how are you doing? Were my parents, my sister, and 2-3 of my close friends. Nobody else asked me how I was doing. Everybody was just like texting me, oh my God, this is amazing. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. That. So that made me feel more lonely because it just called out the idea of friendship and support and community and all of that for me. So that made it all the more difficult. Third, I was feeling lonely because, you know, there were a lot of things happening in my personal life as well. My sister was going through her mental health journey, and then some issues in the house as well. And then my personal and professional issues as well. So when you're in that space of stress and anxiety, you feel all the more lonely.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you feel like, okay, nobody really understands me. Which is something I do believe. So, long story short, every single day of those 156 days, I felt lonely.
But you made it. You made 156 days.
Yeah, I did.
You reached.
And I did the only, and I think the only reason I was able to do it because I was alone. And, you know, it might sound sad to some people, but, everything that I have achieved, it has been when I have done it alone. Not saying that I'm not a team player. Mm-hmm. But I have seen a lot of people just withering away because I think as a Gen Z, 90% of us are all words. There are no actions, the follow-up, which is words. And I had a lot of people who told me that, you know, they'll be supporting me, they'll help me out in this, they'll help you out in, you know, media, PR, falana, dhinkana, all of that they told me. But all of them fizzled away eventually. And then this is the reality of life right now. Like, you tell me right now, like Samantha will tell me right now, let's say, Ronit, I'm going to be there for you. 9 out of 10 times, you're not going to be there. And that's how it works. It just fizzles out eventually, right? This is the kind of situation we live in. So I've kind of accepted that. And I told to myself the first day that when I was walking, that, listen, it's going to be a lonely walk. There will be people who will be cheering for you. There will be people who will be like calling you out. But then it is your and your, like, you will, like, you were the person who started this, you were the person who's going to finish it. And I think that's the only reason I was able to hold myself. Because I'm like, listen, buddy, you knew it's going to be lonely. So just, you know, get over it. So I think, because had I a lot of support with me, and if I had lost that, then it would have been difficult for me to finish. So I just, I just slashed down the expectations. That really helped me. Yeah.
Yeah, I truly believe this reminds me of, like, you know, every person needs to be their own biggest fan. You have to be your biggest fan, because no one else is going to do that for you. And once you lose a type of support, if you're depending on others for your encouragement or support, one or another day it's going to go off and your whole world is going to collapse.
And then there's this quote that I really, you know, really believe in. It says that nobody cares unless it affects them. And that's so true.
That's very true.
That's how everything works. All of us are selfish. I'm not blaming people. It's just the way we are. Scientifically, biologically, we're selfish, and it's fine. All I'm saying is that don't say you're not, you know.
No, I'm definitely not. It's okay to admit you're selfish, but I think the only thing that we could probably do is be a little kind to people, even if we are selfish.
So,
that is something that I personally believe in. You are selfish. I am selfish. The whole world is selfish. Your mom, your dad is selfish as well. You just got to be kind at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. I just don't like when people are like, I'm there for you and all that. I'm like, act on it. I mean, like, where's like evidence? Like, I work on evidence now. That's the biggest lesson I had. I'm like, oh, I need evidence.
Actions speak louder than words. That is the model. Okay. And during the walk, was there any instance that you look back to even to this day? Is there some special memory that you hold on to?
Well, there's so many.
What is the first
thing? You pick up a state and I will tell you.
Okay, a state.
You pick up a state, I'll tell you accordingly.
Okay, I mean, I'm intrigued about Tamil Nadu. The start.
Tamil Nadu was interesting. Tamil Nadu had good and bad memories as well.
Tell me both.
I'll tell you both. Okay. So the first one, which really, and I've used it in a lot of my other talks as well. So I was taking a session. It was in Dindigul. Yeah. Dindigul, I was giving a talk at this college. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of faculties as well, and a lot of different NGOs and all. And I gave a talk and everything. And then after that, there's this pregnant lady. I think she would be in her early 30s. She walked up to me and she's like, Grant, like, you know, love what you're doing and all of that. And then she's like, whatever you're doing, you're not doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for me, but you're doing it for them. And she just pointed towards her womb.
Wow.
And I got teary. I'm like, oh my God, like she gets it, you know, like she gets it. And then my initial, you know, my thought was to hug her, realize that's very inappropriate. So I legit went like this. My hands are like this. I use my hands a lot while I'm speaking. Right? Yeah. So I was talking to her and then I just go like, I legit went like this. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. So that's that. And even till did that, you know, sometimes, you know, this lady, you know, she checks up on me from time to time. And she's like, hey, how is the petition going on? That was the first time when I realized that, you know, regardless of whatever people might think, this thing is real and this thing does impact people and all of that. So it was one of the most beautiful things that I had ever experienced. So that lady was part of this organization in Tamil Nadu. It was an association of pregnant women who help each other out and they, you know, address each other's issues. It was like this support group. It was very beautiful. So, yeah, that was the good one. The bad one was that I was molested when I was walking as well. I was groped by 3 guys.
Oh my God.
It's not safe for even for a guy in India to walk alone.
Wow.
Yeah. So throughout my entire walk, I was molested thrice.
Oh my God.
So yeah. So, but these are the things that I was not able to talk about because I was pumping these vlogs every day where I was giving a lot of gyan and I was giving stories and all of that, right? So there's this I say motivation and like fierce kind of message that I was trying to put out. So even if I wanted to talk about it, I couldn't, because I realized I just know social media that the moment I start talking about it, the entire attention will go towards that. And that, then that is not what I wanted at that point. You know, I just wanted to talk about mental health and that is it. So I kind of like gulped it in. I just spoke to like one or two people about it and then all of that.
That is scary. Those are two things I can tell you.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's just going to take me a moment to process.
After the first incident, is that when I started carrying pepper spray and a knife with me and a stick with me. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and still you managed to complete the walk. That is honestly mad respect. That is really impressive. I wouldn't have even thought of walking, first of all, 4,000 kilometers. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely commendable. And so also now coming to a part of more of your poet side, you know, your writer and creative side. So you are a poet and a writer, and I personally have the privilege to have heard you perform. And I'm assuming most of your pieces come from a place of personal stories, right? And personal experiences.
Yeah.
So I have a theory that, you know, artists, writers, creative people in general, make art when they're mostly overwhelmed with emotion. Is that true for you too?
That's definitely true. Yeah.
And do you find it hard to, like, when you're writing these pieces, to relive this whole experience? Because when you're writing, you're going to think about those emotions and, you know, it's a messy set. So how do you do
it? Which is why, you know, any artist who goes and performs in front of public and then, you know, public is clapping for them, they don't know what has happened in the background. If there's a heavy piece that I'm writing, I have already cried on that paper. I have already had, you know, double thoughts. I'm like, should I put it out? Should I not? And it's just like once you've overcome all of that entire process, then you decide to put it out. Oh, I have a new piece. Let me make a new poem. Let me make a new video. Let me go perform at an open mic and all of that. And there are some artists who can churn new stories which are not associated with them. I just can't find that, because every word that I write, every poem that I write has a certain story. The way it works is, so it works both ways. While at that very point, I have to relive the entire thing. Sometimes it's good because these are the good memories that I'm revisiting. Sometimes it's bad because it's the bad memories. But then the thing about memories that, you know, if you keep playing it again and again, you actually kind of become immune to it. And that's how it has worked. For example, the first poem that I ever performed was a 5-page poem called The Mighty Mustang. And this was when I was going through my mental health journey. And nobody knew me in Bangalore. This open mic by Under 25, 2018. And I went there and there was just like a 5-page piece in which how I feel about everything, what am I doing now, how do I feel and all that. And the first 3 or 4 times that I performed on stage, I broke down on stage. Right. Then the 5th time I didn't break down. I just like sobbed a little and I went. And after the 10th or 11th time, I stopped crying. Right. Other people will be crying. I stopped. And then now that I talk about it, I actually smile about it, because I realize it's been a while and it's been a journey. And then I'm proud of the fact that I'm here and I'm able to talk about it properly. Every time I talk about it, I still relive the journey. It's just that now I find myself in a more resourceful state to tackle with those emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's how it works. And that's how I think with every artist, which is why every artist have a few of their favorite pieces that they will perform with a new set of audience. Because when I'm performing something, if it has a certain baggage, so every time I perform, I let go of a certain baggage on stage. You know, so that's a cathartic way for me also to, you know, kind of move on and that clean that pearl I was talking about.
Really helps. We're just going to leave a little piece over there and then.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. And so coming to this point, like, what is next for Ronit as a person? What do we as audience look forward to from you?
So what you can look forward to right now, I am working on a book that is going on. I am building my own company. We're trying to bring mental health in the work, Indian work culture as well, because we really need it. I am working with a few individuals. You know, I do one-on-one coaching, so I'm really planning to work with some high-caliber people. You know, people on the higher hierarchy, and then try to make things work from there. That's what you can expect. Then you can expect my ideal body coming soon. That's one of the resolutions that I've made, because In October, I met with an accident, and then I was bedridden, and then I was not allowed to go to the gym for 2 months, and then I gained back all the weight that I worked out. So this year is like by June, when it's my birthday, I have to come back to my ideal body weight. So that's something I'm working on. So yeah, that's a few things. You know, I've stopped thinking about like big things that I want to do at the end of the day, because I realize in a hard way that you can't make something, you can't make 5 year, 10 year plans. That's you can make 2 year plans. So 1 year plans, and that's what I do now.
Amazing.
And Baki, I'll figure out eventually.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm going to invite you back to the podcast once your book is completed, and another time once your company is officially launched. I'm looking forward to having you again, and I'm looking forward to your tremendous accomplishments. Getting added on to the list. Next time, I'm just going to have to like literally have a half a page document of your achievements. So
it's all a journey. Trust me. At the end, that's all that matters.
Definitely. And I mean, coming to resolutions, New Year's resolutions, do you have any New Year's resolutions other than your ideal body?
So I realized that the term resolution doesn't really work for me, because it's not like heavy enough or like, you know, appealing enough for me. So I have set goals for 2022. Mm-hmm. There are some personal and professional goals that I've set. So I'm yet to put a timeline to it, because if I don't put a deadline, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I can't be like, by the end of 2022, what is by the end of 2022? So I'm still creating the plan of action for myself. That's what's going on. But then, you know, 4 or 5 major goals I have for this year. Yeah.
Good. I personally do not believe in New Year resolutions, because they never end up happening. And I feel every day should be a resolution.
Yeah. And that's definitely one way to look at it. I do agree. It is, I am that kind of person, I need to set goals for myself. Only then I will achieve it. It's just like, I need to see where I'm headed. So for me, it works for different people. You know,
every person has their own learning.
Yeah, exactly.
So Ronit, before we end the episode, I have a quick game that I would hope you'd like to play. It's called a word association game. Basically, I'm going to give you a word, and what I'd like you to do is create a sentence out of it, and hopefully the sentence will be added on to create a poetry.
Okay.
All right. So can we start?
What is the mood that you're looking for?
I'll just start the sentence and we can proceed with that. Let's see where the vibe takes us.
Okay. All right.
All right. So the first word is pretty basic. Sunflower.
I think sometimes I'm a sunflower, because everywhere you go, I look around.
Okay. Interesting. Roads.
Roads?
Yes.
Well, I've seen so many roads in my life, and I've realized that every single road is worth it. It's not about which one is more traveled or less traveled. We all have a road. We just need to figure out which one works for us.
Interesting. Darkness.
Darkness.
Yes.
Darkness. I mean, darkness has its charm sometimes. Can I just end with that?
Okay. Definitely. End with that. Magic. Yeah.
Magic. There is a certain magic in conversations, in sharing and in caring.
I know this is not going poetic.
Yeah.
And finally, I'd like to end it with tea.
With?
Tea.
Tea?
Yes.
Let me try to come up with this pickup line thing I was telling you about, right? Samantha, would you be my tea? Because I want you to be constant in my life. I should write it down in my page now.
Instagram page. You should plug in your Instagram page at this moment. If anyone wants to check out pickup lines, this is the page you need to go and look at. What's your page called?
Guys, use that anyone on this. It's called Legendary Pickup Lines. Again, disclaimer, use it at your own risk. Okay.
Definitely go check out the page, guys. I hope you could use it actually. Ronit, there's one question that I ask everyone that comes on the show, and I'd like to ask that to you too. If you could ask anyone anything, what would the question be and who would you ask the question to?
Wow. It's a very broad thing. So like, think of it. Anyone. So anything. It could be anyone and any question.
Yeah, any. You could ask probably King Henry something as well. So it doesn't matter if they're dead or alive.
All right. If I have to ask anyone, if I could ask anyone any question. Okay, the third one. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, this goes into more like afterlife and stuff as well. Okay.
Okay.
The question that I would like to ask the person I'd like to ask the question is the last person who will be at my grave or funeral, whatever it is. And then the let's say the reincarnation of me or whatever, like whatever it is, like my energy, my soul, I want to ask them that, did this man have passion and did this man add joy to other people's lives?
Wow. That's what I would like to ask them. That was a very dark twist to a very, how do I put it, to a very joyful question.
Yeah.
It was like quoted. It had layers.
I would want to know, you know. Yeah, I mean, I do, you know, like when I leave this earth, I would like to know that, you know, did I have passion? And then, did I help? That's it. Yeah.
That is.
And was I fun as well, I guess. Yeah.
That is one of the best questions that I've, answers that I've had for that question, definitely on the podcast. Thank you for that.
Yeah, anyway, one more difficult questions though.
I liked it though. It puts the guest on the spot and, you know, you come up with an authentic answer. Generally, it would be something that, you know, they think of already. So yeah, I'm glad that you were able to think about it as well.
Thank you for asking me that. Now that I asked, like, it's still running in my head. And I would like that. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
So yeah, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much, Ronit, for being part of this episode, for taking time out. We've been rescheduling this from a month, but I'm so glad that we got it sorted and we had this conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it and I'm pretty sure that our listeners would enjoy it as well. And on the side note, I'm a big fan of Is It Time? The piece that you've written. After a long time, I had like legit goosebumps when I listened to it. So I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot again, but would you like to perform that piece for us?
Let me see if I recall that entire thing. Okay, let me make an attempt. This piece is called Is It Time? And then this is when I wrote when I was in the hospital bed and I was paralyzed for around 45 days and I decided to end my life because for me, life amounted to nothing after my career was over. So, you know, I wrote down different ways to kill myself. So, you know, trigger warning, this piece has, you know, it talks about death and suicide and the different ways in which I plan to kill myself, which might be triggering for some audience. So, you know, just know what you're getting into. So it starts like this. Once I wanted to die, and I'll tell you how. I would get bitten by a snake. It'll take around 30 to 60 minutes. Or I could slit my wrist and finish it off in 15. Talking about poison, cyanide is the quickest, 7 minutes. But that'll be painful, I wonder. Or hey, I could take sleeping pills and never wake up again. That'll be peaceful, isn't it? 5 minutes if I hang myself, 3 minutes if I drown, 2 minutes if I touch a live wire and electrocute myself out. Nah, I need it to be quick. I could probably just jump off a tall building or pull the trigger placed on my head, done and dusted in a second. Well, I thought of all this and honestly wanted to try them so much, but I guess it's not the time, or is it? I thought of it again and again and again and actually came up with an answer. I could use those 30 to 60 minutes pumping my arms at the gym. I could use those 15 minutes going through my family's photographs, help my friend, stand up for a good cause, support a stranger, empathize, love, hope. I want to listen to my favorite song for those 5 minutes or look into someone's eyes for 3. I want to kiss someone for those 2 minutes and dance like crazy on my feet. And I don't want anything quick because I want to live life bit by bit. Thank you.
That was amazing. Still chills. I have goosebumps. Oh my God. It was such a brilliant
piece. Thank you for being kind.
It was honestly one of the best pieces that I've heard. Thank you so much for sharing it on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me share it with, you know, all of you people who are watching this podcast.
So again, thank you so much, Ronit, for being part of this podcast. I'm so sorry for putting you in this spot so many times throughout the podcast.
I like being put on spot.
Yeah, there's a lot of growth from being put in uncomfortable situations and being put on the spot.
Yeah.
So before we end the podcast, is there anything that you'd like to plug? Your Instagram page, anything that the listeners must follow? You have the floor right now. You can see it.
Okay, you can go to my Instagram. It's called Ronit Ranjan. And then on the bio, there's a link. If you go to that link, there's the link for the petition that I'm working on. We have around 1,09,000 signatures right now. The next target is to reach 1,50,000. That's when it becomes one of the top signed petitions in India. So my next target is that. So I really invite and, you know, request you to go. Fill in that form, sign the petition, and then share it with your friends and family, because this is not just my battle, this is yours as well, and for the upcoming generation. And that's all I ask.
Okay. Go ahead and follow his Instagram, guys, and don't forget to sign up for the Change.org, his campaign. It is going to be of tremendous help, like you mentioned, to everyone, not just him, but everyone in general. So don't forget to do that. And Thank you again, Ronit, so much for being on this podcast. I'm glad that you came here, and I'm glad we had such a good conversation. And thank you, listeners, thank you so for listening to this episode. Hopefully, y'all could take away something from this episode. I, for one, have taken away a lot from it. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on Apple. And Spotify introduced a new feature where you can rate the podcast as well. So don't forget to rate your favorite podcast, I Don't Know With Samantha George, on Spotify. And also stream Letters to Myself, my second podcast. And catch me next Friday or Saturday for another fun episode. Thank you, Ronit, and see you, listeners. Bye-bye.